I see my body perfect. I see my body perfect. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campbell, California, with our instant inspiration. I see my body perfect. This morning on the Worldwide Healing Ministry, the Dalai Healing Word, we had a very fantastic meditation that was available to everybody. It still is. It will be all week long. It's a walk into your secret sanctuary, to your inner sanctuary. If you have a chance to listen to that, I think you'll have quite a good time, because I know I had quite a good time in giving it. It's listening to the divine within you. It's listening to who you really are. I've been working with Ellen recently on standing up for the principle, and Ellen has done a very good job. But as my sister May would say to me after I said to her, "May, you're home perfect, May, you're home perfect, May, you're home perfect," "Shut up," she would say to me, you know. And of course I understood that. What she was saying, she was frustrated because she wanted to be whole and perfect, but she enjoyed the illness that she was having. And you say, well, she certainly should not have enjoyed it. Well, it's not that kind of enjoyment. It's the kind of enjoyment of habit that we get to having something for so long, and we get used to it, and we think that that's good for us to have. People have mental problems, and that's a habit for them to have. They have drinking problems, and that's a habit for them to have. They have all these different habits that we build up in our life, and we get so accustomed to them, we don't realize that it's a habit that we have built up, and it really is not getting us anywhere at all. In fact, it's tearing us right straight down. Now, as I was talking to Ellen about these things, she was explaining how her son was going through an illness right at the moment. And this illness is kind of tough on the family because he just doesn't have illnesses. But we all conjectured perhaps he ate too much of the roasted pig at the party that they had, or he ate this or that, or did this or that or the other thing. And, you know, you can put all sorts of names to it. And the daughter-in-law is a lovely lady and competent beyond words, as the tax collector for the city of Chicago and all that sort of good stuff. Just a fabulous girl. Well, she said, "Now, don't say to him he's whole and perfect, because that's tough. That's tough." And Ellen didn't stop to say that to her because she was just working with the lady, because she knew that she was having a tough time. But Ellen could have said to her, "Well, sweetheart, a couple of months ago, well, in fact, a couple of years ago, when your mom was very seriously ill in the hospital, and I had just come into the philosophy of positive thinking here, I went to your mom in the hospital and I said, 'You're whole and perfect, you're wonderful, you're fantastic, you're great.' And she says, 'Yes, I am, yes, I am.' And it was no time at all, and she got up out of that bed and came out of that hospital because she took hold of the idea. Now, you want me to deny that to your husband?" Because Ellen didn't say that. But the thought went through her mind. And I said to Ellen, "Sure, you would honor her saying, 'No, I won't say it.' But don't. You say what's in your heart. And if she doesn't like that, that's part of life. My sister was always ready to punch my nose out, punch my lights out, like she would say. She used to punch my lights out when I was a little kid, and she would push me around in the baby buggy. And she would still punch my lights out. And I said, 'Well, go ahead, May, do it.' She's 78. And I said, 'Go ahead, do it.' And then she'd get a big smile on her face and forget all about it. But I'd say to her, 'May, you're home perfect. May, you're home perfect. May, you're home perfect. May, you're home perfect.' And I know that that helps her make her decision. She wanted to leave because her husband had died, and she had nothing much left as far as she could see to live for. And so I said, 'May, if you want to die, go right ahead. That's okay. But if you want to live, I'm right here working with you to be whole and perfect and have a fantastic body. Whatever you want to do, it's your choice. You can make the choice. I can't do anything for you unless you want to do it. Because in my mind, you're doing the right thing at all times. In my mind, you're whole and perfect all the time. I don't see you any other way.' Now, 'Oh, shut up, Herbie,' she'd say to me. And I knew that she meant it with all her heart. Not with anger, but I understand what you're saying, and I'm not ready to do something on it like that, you know. And so, Ellen will be doing this with her son, too. With all her heart, she'll be saying to him, Diego, you're a super kid. Diego, you don't know what the meaning of illness is. You're whole and perfect. You're fantastic. You're glorious. And Diego will say, you're right, Mom. You see, sometimes we need a good swift kick, right where it does us the most good, sends us in the right direction. And most of the time we're coddled. Most of the time we're petted and we're said, oh, that's too bad, you got a problem, that's too bad. But we want to live in our perfect body. And the only way to live in our perfect body is to start thinking about a perfect body. If a body wants a body that is well and strong, he must think a perfect body, think it all day long. We have one of those joy songs like that. And that's true. You must think a body perfect all day long. If you let your mind get away from thinking of a perfect body, then you're going to experience that imperfect body. Now, we all have relatives, and we all have friends who have experiences, and they bring them to our attention. And then we say, oh, I should do something about this, but I don't want to do it. Jeff had an opportunity to do something one time, and he came real close to doing it, but he didn't. And the condition dragged down for a little while, but then it righted itself. But it could have been like that, if you just had the courage and the guts to carry through. But whenever your heart says do something, go do it. Even if somebody doesn't like it, even if the person involved doesn't like it, like my sister May, or like anybody else. Because they really did like it. They really did like it. Every time I would go over to May and Kip's house, my brother-in-law and sister, they would talk to me about philosophy. They would talk to me about these things. And then they would try to get away from the subject. They'd always come back to it. They'd get away from the subject by talking about the news and the sports and things like that. And then they come back to it. Because that was what was really on their heart. That was what was really in their mind. May had helped me begin the University of Healing. She was on my first board of directors. And she and Kip were very beneficial to me all the way along on everything that I did. And I remember that. And I don't feel obligated to them. But I feel they believe what I teach because they supported me. And so I get right in there and give it to them. And this is what I do with you. And this is what I want each of you to do with each other. See your perfect body. How I see my perfect body? By recognizing that that's what it is. It's an archetypal body. It's returning to your original purity and integrity. I've been working very diligently this past week on editing this Art and Science of Wholeness. That's the first book for the University of Healing. That's the basic textbook. And as I started in it, I thought, oh, this is kind of weak, you know, because I've come many, many books since then. And then I didn't touch too much. And then as I got into the book, I thought, my God, this is heavy stuff. This is deep stuff. This is really demanding everybody to look at their divine self and claim it. And, I'm glad I read this. I'm glad that I'm rereading this. I was very blessed to be able to share these ideas, you know. And, you know, a lot of times we forget. We forget. It's like a great musician. He plays so much music, he sometimes forgets what he originally came up with. I quite imagine our dear friend Mozart does not remember what music he wrote. I quite imagine that. I kind of think Mozart gave so freely from his heart, so purely from his heart, so openly, without remembering what he did. I wrote poetry when I was in college, and I'd write the poetry and pop, it'd be done. And my buddies who were writing poetry and the girls that I knew who were writing poetry, oh, they would read me mentally their poetry. They'd tell me that again, tell me that again. And they'd say, tell us some of yours. I said, well, I haven't got it with me. Don't you know it? No. Once I write it, I let it go. Once I write poetry, I let it go. I just remember it served the purpose. It was kind of nice. It wasn't absolutely perfect. It wasn't polished so that all the iambic pentameter was in the proper pentameter way, but it was good, and it was fun. But this is how we should all live our life. Do everything fully for the moment. If a body want a body that is well and strong, he must think a perfect body, think it all day long. And that is how I see my body perfect. I love you.
Love you.
Thank you.
10 minutes. That's good.
Short, fast.